Scripture this morning is Psalm 32, page 867 in your pew Bible. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sins the Lord does not count against them, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart.
Father, we praise you and thank you this morning for your love and patience that you show in us. In so many ways, you have been with us from the beginning through it all, in the good and the not so good. In our times of triumph, great gladness, success, and well-being, you have been there because we know that every good thing comes from you, Lord. In our times of loss, sadness, failure, and sickness, you have been there to give us hope, peace, love, and joy. Because even when you're going through the worst of it, we know that those things are all found only in you and your promise through your Son. Lord, we pray we would be mindful of our needs, of our neighbors, and be vigilant and ready to help where we can. Give us your eyes for the lost, the lonely, the hurting, so that we might see those in need. Give us your compassion for those in need so that we might take action. Be with those in our communities and around the world who struggle to survive. Keep them safe wherever they are and meet them where they need you the most, working in their lives to show your glory. May Jesus Christ be revealed so then they can believe and be filled with hope, peace, love, and joy regardless of their situations. And now we pray specifically for those on our prayer list who are in need of your protection, love, and healing. We pray for Heather, Brian, Gail, Kenny, Thomas, Floyd, Jerry, Paula, Harold, Shirley, Ellie and Mila, Carol, Cliff, Blake, Emma, the Quinter family, Ron, the Zabrowski family, and Helen Hess. We also pray, Father God, in agreement with one voice, these who are now bring before you. Father, we pray that you would keep these family and friends safe wherever they are and meet them where they need you the most, working in our lives to show your glory and help us to truly follow your Son, who taught us the importance of praising you, trusting you, and forgiving others when he taught us this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So, when Mark asked me to do this, like a couple weeks ago, at first I was like, oh, immediately, yes, I would do this, I would love to do it. As I thought about it, I'm like, I can't believe I actually said yes to this, but... Last week on Tuesday, I met with Mark to ask him about this, so he would, show me what to do. I sat there in a conference room with him and Goop, and he said, well, the sermon's this Sunday, so get ready by at least Friday or Saturday. I'm like, oop, better get cracking on that then. But, We're going to be okay. It's going to be fine. Where is Doy found? Not unbelief. Voltaire was an infidel of the most pronounced type. He wrote, "I wish I had never been born." Not in pleasure. Lord Byron lived a life of pleasure if anyone did. He wrote, "The worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." Not in money. Jay Gould, the American millionaire, had plenty of that. When dying, he said, "I suppose I'm the most miserable man on the earth." Not in position and frame. Lord Beaconsfield enjoyed more than his share of both. He wrote, "Youth is a mistake, manhood a struggle, old age a regret." Not in military glory. Alexander the Great conquered the known world in his day. Having done so, he wept in his tent because he said, "There are no worlds to conquer. There are no more worlds to conquer." Where then is real joy found? The answer is simple, through faith in God and following Christ. One of the most important traits of a Christian is joy, as shown through Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The Greek word for joy means an inner gladness, a deep pleasure which comes from an inner assurance and confidence that God does all things for His good purposes. This joy is not the same as the joy found in the world, which gives only temporary pleasure. This joy is not the same as the joy found in the world, which gives only temporary pleasure, which is incomplete. Joy found in worldly ways leaves an awareness that something could come and rob that joy. Joy received from God gives Christians the assurance that He does all things well for those who seek Him with all their hearts. Jesus tells us how to experience true joy. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Jesus' joy was found through obedience to his Father's will. Thus the source of a person's true joy will be found through living an obedient life to the Lord. True joy does not depend on circumstances or happiness. Christians experience joy in the midst of blessings as well as the fire of trials. Paul, while in the midst of trials and persecutions, wrote, "In trouble my joy knows no bounds." 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 46. Joy springs from faith. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Joy comes in trusting in God who controls all things and knows what is best for you. It is extremely difficult to live the Christian life without joy. It is hard to love others when you are angry and bitter all the time. It is hard to be kind without being joyful. It is hard to be good and patient without joy. If you don't have joy, it's impossible to have all the other traits of being a good Christian. Of course, if it was easy, I wouldn't be talking about being joyful through times of strife right now. God is very good at throwing times of strife and struggle at us and asking, "Well, what do you choose? Joy or bitterness?" For me, this moment came in my life when I was stuttering. It came up for me, I really noticed it around 6th or 7th grade, and it was bad, but I never really thought about it. I never really thought a big deal about it. But by my freshman year, it reached its worst point. I reached a point where I couldn't talk without stuttering. Where it was the kind of stuttering where I'd be able to say the first word of a sentence and I couldn't get past that, or I couldn't even say the first sentence at all. I can only compare it to slamming my head against a brick wall and hoping it would break, but it never breaks. Soon, I became extremely uncomfortable with talking at all. Whenever I went to school, I would hope and stress that I wouldn't have to read anything aloud or talk in front of people. And when I did, it usually never went well. I began to lose confidence with talking. Every time I talked, I hesit- every time I talk, I believe that I was going to start stuttering and mess up. As I started getting leadership roles in the Boy Scouts and the youth group, I started to get even more frustrated. So, as I'm doing this stuff with the youth group and the Boy Scouts, and I'm asked to take these positions up, especially with the Boy Scouts, I reach a point of how am I supposed to lead people and be a good leader when I can't even talk in front of anybody? And as far as the people interacted with me, as far as people my age, there was a side that really didn't get it, and they'll kind of take it as a little joke, and like it didn't bother me too much. But whenever I talked, I just felt in the back of my mind that people were slightly making fun of me. And I wasn't really surprised about it. But there's the people who, and then there were the adults. Now, not all adults, but there were some who, whenever I would talk about people, I would get pretty nervous. They would kind of look at me and say, come on, buddy, don't be nervous, you're fine and stuff. And I'm like, I'm honestly not that nervous. I just struggle with talking. And I didn't want to say anything because I was afraid of being a buzzkill or being too sensitive. So, but then the summer after my freshman year, Mark came to me and told me about Chrysalis, and actually, without really knowing what it was, I said, yeah, I'll do it. Why not, man? You know. So, I went to it as I could sound. It was a 4-day thing, and. And while I was there, I wasn't really nervous. I didn't have too much of a hard time talking. And I feel like it was because I was with other people. I was with fellow Christians. I was in a place where I could be with God on a one-to-one level and really improve my relationship with Him. And by the time I left there, I had a newfound confidence in myself. I never got too worried about what other people thought of me. I never got worried about what other people thought about me. So then I started to think about why he would really put this on me and have me deal this for so long. I thought, Maybe he's using it to test how much joy and faith I really have. Because when you go through every day and you struggle to talk, even now with me, when I struggle to talk, it's pretty hard to maintain joy every day and just maintain confidence. But then I decided, If I'm gonna have to deal with this for a while, there's no point in being down about it. So I started trying to be more joyful about it. And it did get hard sometimes, and it still does, but I chose to be joyful through it anyway. And now there are three things that I believe really helped me, that really helped me get through it. For one, my speech teacher at the high school did wonders for me. She taught me how to get through the talking, how to start sentences off. Second, my Christmas retreat, that really helped me with just being confident with myself and truly believing that God has a plan for me and He's looking out for me and not to worry. And third, there's the family and friends around me who took it seriously, who let me figure it out. Like, whenever I talked and I struggled, they sat, they listened, they looked at me. They didn't treat me like I was different. Well, I am different, but you know. but still, when I talked, they sat, they listened, they pretty much acted like I was talking normally. And now I've been told by many people that it's not bad at all. That's barely noticeable, and I haven't really noticed it until Friday night. I was with my friend's mom. We were talking, and she said, "You know, we were talking for like 20 minutes, and you stuttered maybe like twice." And I was kind of surprised. I never really picked up on it. But James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Whenever something like my stutter happens in your life, be joyful, because God is giving you a chance to show your faith for Him." Now, I'm going to talk about social media and the news. Now, if there's one thing in life that can kill anyone's joy, it's news and social media. Whenever I go on Instagram, all I want to see are memes and dog videos. That's all I want to see. I want to enjoy what I'm looking at. But instead, all I get is people posting their political garbage, saying that their political views are right, posting hate and intolerance, and it honestly makes me sick. And then on the news, whenever I don't watch news a lot, but whenever I do, it's usually along the lines of foreign tension, crime or tragedy. Now, whenever every day of your life you're seeing people out like this and you're seeing all this negativity, loss, and pain, it's hard to be joyful. In the music video "Joy" by Canadian Country, it tackles this topic. The camera opens to an elderly couple watching the news. The anchor woman talks about a superstorm that is ravaging the country, and every time the anchor man tries to say something positive to keep people's spirits up, he's always cut off, and then he finally gives up. The anchor man and cameraman finally have enough and decide to do something about it.
Mark, can you play the video, please?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight's lead story once again is Megastorm Hercules.
Yes, and though it seems to be settling over the entirety of the continental United States of America, there is some good news.
It is the storm of the century. It has utterly paralyzed our nation.
On a brighter note, people are really...
It's already claimed the dubious title of the worst of all time.
Thank you for that, Nancy. Let me take a look at the weather.
Lately I've been reeling, watching the nightly news. Don't seem to find the rhythm, just wanna sing the blues. Feels like a song that never stops. joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay.
Haven't changed, I guess our perspective can. Right, Randy?
Couldn't have said it better myself. This is Channel 13, Nancy Randy.
We will all face a superstorm or a few of these in our lives, whether it's a stutter or something bigger. Joy is infectious. If you're able to show joy in a time of strife and hardship, it will inspire us to do so. And if they ask you, why are you so happy? And you respond with, I have God looking out for me, he's on my side. That might tell me something to this whole Christian thing. You always have a choice, bitterness or joy. I chose joy, what will you choose? Let us pray. Dear Lord, life can be hard. It can honestly suck sometimes, Lord. But whenever we're shown hardship, and we're shown that life isn't always a smooth sailing as well as it could be, help us to choose joy so that we can not only inspire ourselves but inspire others. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.